And like what the Lord is doing. Sometimes Andrew describes it like, it's like we're walking through, you know, when Malkbus is like full of mist and you can't see where you're driving. Sometimes with the Lord, it does feel like that, where there's only the next two lines, the white lines in front of you in the road, and you just stick on the right side of that thing. But sometimes trying to discover where God is, it feels like that. Okay, Jesus, what now? Okay, cool. Yeah, okay. And I'll be honest, this morning feels like one of those for us as elders. It's like, Jesus, where are you? And he's here, but it's like we're walking through mist. It's like, okay, here we go. And so I want to be open with you guys to that because, yes, I just disappeared big time. Okay, cool, I'm back. But I want to be open with you because I want you to know that we're never going to fall in the, I hope not, okay, but we don't want to walk into the trap of having to manufacture something if God is not doing it. Okay, and I hope you're okay with that because what the Lord told me last week, I had a lot of faith. Like, I was like, God, you can bring revival this morning. It can break out and this can be it. And then we were trying. And then like in the response halfway through worship, I said to Borent, I don't know. I think we need to land it. And I just felt the Lord said, he said, if you can start it, you can end it. But if I begin it, then no man can stop it. And I said, okay, God, I don't want to start it. I don't want to end it. I want you to bring the real deal. And so as we together as a congregation discover God, I want you to just be aware of how we as all this thing. Like, we don't ever want to fall in the trap of manufacturing something, but we hungry for the real deal. Amen? You guys okay with that? Cool. I am as well. It is very unsure though. Let me tell you that. It's not a comfortable, I like being in control. This sucks, by the way. if you don't know what's happening next. But, it is a good place to be. It's a wonderful season that we're in. I love hearing just how God is busy reviving our prayer lives. It's interesting how the Lord is putting his finger on this thing, and how suddenly, again, I don't want people to be insecure to pray, but there's a consciousness of like, what do I pray? But also the hunger to pray. And I love that. And I want to encourage you guys. I want to keep stirring you with that. Guys, never cease to pray. All right, keep going. Whether it's individually, whether it's corporately, just be hungry to pray together. There's something that the Lord is doing in that, and I want to stir you to keep going for that. All right. I felt this morning to give us a quick overview, just of this year. Can you believe it? We're almost at the end of 2019, or so it feels, because it's my birthday, and I know it's at the end of the year, so we're right at the end. But and by the way, thank you for all the birthday wishes. It was just so lekker. Auntie Leslie told me this morning, "Hey, why are you looking so neat? What's up with the long pants? Are you trying to be old now?" And so I said, "I am older than last week." And last week, someone told me, "You know, if you preach with short pants, the anointing leaks out by your knees." So I thought this morning I'll see where's the balance, you know. I'm joking. I'm not trying to be old. We're keeping young here. But by the way, just before I forget, Grant Baker, he's supposed to sit here next to Lorna, okay? Last week, okay, cool. So Grant, last week I was like, I told myself, remember, Grant is going to Australia, pray for Grant. And the whole morning, it's a whoop. And when I got home, I was like, oh my heck, can I call all of you together quickly, please? I want us to pray for Grant. But anyway, Grant is on a outreach with Will Murray, actually, in Oz for the next 2 weeks. So just so you wonder, he's not slipping church or something like that. He's in Australia. Okay. Lord, so we just pray for Grant right now. Grant and Will, we're ministering. I think it's middle of the night now. We're dosing now. But we're ministering in Australia, God. We just pray for a significant time. I pray for Grant specifically that something will awaken in his heart, Lord, just during this trip. And when he gets back, Lord, that there can be a fire in his belly. Lord, we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this year, the Lord has done a lot with us, okay? And I want to try and paint a picture for us quickly. At the start of the year, Ruan started with, do you remember, we're revisiting now, but it says, do you remember the story where Joseph and Mary lost Jesus? You remember that part? That was in January, can you believe it, okay? And Jesus responded to his parents. They asked him, where were you? He said, don't you know that I'm about my father's business? And we started with the household of God. Why Jesus was captured by being in the house of God. And we started with that. And then when I led, I just keep a part there. I couldn't remember the rest. I'm so sorry. But we focused on quite a bit on the household of the Lord. And then when I started leading, there was a time where we looked at the glory of God. And what does it mean when we say the glory of God? Is it the two goosebumps I'm feeling while we're worshiping? Or it's actually so much bigger than that? And we prayed this prayer, God, would you open our eyes to see you again for who you really are, not what I want to make you to be. Anybody remember that? That was really good, I think. Then we looked at extravagant worship. Like, what is it? What is an appropriate way to respond to the Lord? So when we see him, is it just be still and know that I'm God? Because you're going to be still or no when we really see him. But then there's also extravagant worship of God. You're amazing. That's going to come out of us. And it comes in suffering sometimes to say, God, I choose you. It comes when it's going well to say, God, you're worthy of this. And then we looked at that. Anybody can remember that? Cool. Then there was a call to maturity where God said, now you guys are no longer infants who I need to feed milk, but you need to grow up in spiritual maturity and bear much fruit because God is glorified by us bearing much fruit. And then when the one came back, us as a church started moving into a new season, and he used the words often like, we're crossing to the other side. And Jesus said, and I believe it was a spiritual picture for us as a church. The guy said, listen, we are moving to a new season. And there's a lot of shifts happening again this morning. And God said, there's something new for us that we're going to walk into. And crossing the other side, there's often storms, but Jesus is walking on the water in the middle of the storm. All right? And then where we now is there's a cry for revival. And I want to tell you, like, these topics, it is not just completely different. We don't get together as elders twice a week and say, hey, what do you think is a good idea? What book did you read recently? I listened to that preach from that guy in 1980. That was a good one. That's not what it's about. I want to encourage you. God is intimately involved in steering us as a church. And even, like, at the beginning of the year, we couldn't see where we are now. It's like, again, going through mist. Okay, Jesus, where are you now? But just as I reflected over those topics this year, God was busy with us and preparing us for now. And last week's preach, I think, was specifically, are you guys okay? You with me? Okay? But last week's preach, I think, captured it for me together, is the cry to say, God, would you do it in me? Would you do it in me? Because there's something so quickly about us to say, what about him? Look at him. Do it with him. He needs change. All right? There's something so quick in us. But real revival and a desire for prayer to break out and revival to break out is, Lord, would you do it in me? I want revival. I'll pray. I'll be there. I want extravagant worship to break out. Lord, I'll be there in front. Where's that little girl? Oh, she's probably in kids' church now. Where's, I saw you somewhere. Yes. What's your daughter's name? Phoebe. Ne? Phoebe. Ne? Like, she didn't even want to give me a high five afterwards today because she's so shy. But did you see her jumping on stage this morning? She's like, can I dance on stage this morning? Go for it. Ne? There's something about, like, I want extravagant worship to break out. I'll do it. How old is she? 7. Eh? And my wifey was on there as well. Come on, babe. Eh? Okay. And man, I want to stir us. There's something, a desire in us, Lord, would you do it in me again? Would you do it in me? All right. And just looking at revival, I'm reading a book, like I'm mentioning every week, just looking at revival. And it's, man, I think the Lord is doing something in us, but it's not revival yet. Okay? There are some crazy stuff that happened in the past when revival really broke out, okay? It was weird. Like, man, the amount of stuff that happens when revival is really there, it's something that no man can start, all right? And I think what is happening now, the guy in the book, Gordon Petty, describes it like this. Oftentimes, there's seasons where you can sense, man, the Holy Spirit is right there. And it's like, he wants to come and meet with us. But he says, I would call that, and the Bible speaks of it, of times of refreshing. Where it's just, it feels easy to meet with the Lord. And he's right there, and there's faith in the room, and there's expectation. But revival, he says, in times of refreshing, or just when there's a general move, times of evangelism, he says, the saints go, and they seek the lost. He says, in times of revival, the lost come running to find the Lord. It's different. Yeah. Where last week I said that if there's a fire, you don't need to advertise it. People know, and they come running to it. And if your church is on fire, people know about it. And there's some desire of that. We're not there yet. And my desire, just as we look at revival, is like it needs to go outside these four walls. Thanks, Mike. It needs to get out of here. Like, we can have some of the kiffest meetings in here, and it's amazing. Like, please hear me. I love worshiping together and love meeting with the Lord with you guys. It is one of my favorite things to do in life. But man, I would love to see when I walk on the beach and people just praying for one another, bringing people to the Lord. I love when I drive past the coffee shops. Often I would see people just sitting there, one-on-one coffee dates. And I know they're being intentional with what they're doing there. I love that. It needs to go past the walls. Amen. All right. But the biggest problem for revival to start, okay, not the biggest problem, but the I think one of the key things is that desire, God, would you do it in me? And really what that means is God is going to bring us to the end of ourselves where we are not in control. All right. Funny story in the week with Lorna and I. So Grant's gone, and we're doing this thing called theology of the heart or something like that. We don't really know what we're doing every week, but there's some desire in us that we want to look at the heart. And so Grant leaves and he sends us this whole email of stuff that he prayed about and like, look at these and these and these points. And Lorna's like, cool, we're going to stick to that as close as we can. And the whole day I'm full of faith. And that evening I'm supposed to lead the meeting and Lorna is going to minister. And I promise you, like, I find myself usually, or I think of myself as a fairly good communicator and being in control, knowing what to do. And I stand up, and I just need to introduce Lorna. And it's like my brain left me. It's like, I don't even know what to say. Like, so, hi. It's like, how many, 40 people in the house? And I don't know how to introduce her. Like, all my words just left me. And it's like, I don't know what we're doing here tonight. Like, it was the weirdest feeling. I felt so out of control. And I'm like, poor Lorna, she needs to start off the back end here. Like, and anyway, so it is like, cool, we're going to see what the Lord does tonight. Hope you have a great evening. It felt like that, really, man. So Lorna ministers, I thought it was amazing. I would have given her probably a 9 out of 10. I thought it was significant. Afterwards, we chat. She's like, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I didn't have any direction. And afterwards, like, I'm telling you, I was looking for some leader in the room who can help me here. I felt deaf. Like, I don't know where, Jesus, where are you? But the cool thing was, I've never had so much feedback after a meeting of people messaging me. It was amazing. Steve said, it was the best ministry we've experienced in 27 years. I'm like, wow. Okay, I was like, And not one or two people, like many, saying, guys, it was incredible. And I'm like, Jesus, that was you. It wasn't us. Okay? It was so out of my control and out of hers as well. That's like, I was praying for Grant to come back. And I hoped he missed his flight or something. Like, it was bad. Okay? And that next day, I was wrestling. Is this the devil that's trying to blind me or to deafen me that I can't hear what's like going on? And the next morning, just as we were chatting, I realized it might have been the Lord. It might have been God that was just trying to silence me and say, it is not you and your good, in your brain, leadership skills that will produce this. It is gonna, if revival is going to come and it's a real work of the heart, it's going to be me. And for all of us, please don't let it just be me that comes to the end of myself. I want to stir you. What is it that the Lord is leading us to? That is like, God, okay, I'm letting go. But please, would you come and fill it with something of you? How's this? Gordon Petty says, obedience, faith, and prayer are still the only three human factors that can bring revival. Obedience, faith, and prayer. And I want to stir us. Those are things that we can be faithful for, or faithful with. Eh? And he said, revival is this. Now, are you guys with me? I'm also trying to find my way here, okay? But he says, true revival is when the Holy Spirit falls on the most solid, hard, stubborn person in the room. Okay. Now, sometimes you get like a, I'm going to use it, she's not even here this morning, but sometimes you get a Denise, né? And it's like, there's a 90% chance that if revival breaks out, Denise will be right in the front, the one experiencing it, okay? And sometimes you're like, okay, and it's cool, and I believe it's God, and like, but she's sensitive to it. Man, I pray for the day that Oom Henk is laying on his face here in the front, okay? And I'm, like, I'm not saying you're stubborn at all, okay? No, please hear me, okay? That's not it. But there's sometimes like, man, if that person, if they're going for it, I know the Lord is walking in this room. And I desire that for you guys. Yeah? To see, and you know what's a lucky thing? He said, no, he won't fake it. It's something that's like, where if it happens, I'm convinced it's going to be the Lord. Because he has a real desire for the real deal. And I want to stir us, like, but to prepare our hearts, to cry out for it, God, if you want to do it in me, please do it. Please do it. Do it in me, God. No amen for that. All right. Cool. Cool. Thank you. Cool. I want to read you something here. Gordon Petty also said this. He says, and this is what I desire for us as a church. He said, every revival that I have studied has been a mixture of the people experiencing the wonderful presence of God with conversions and healings and mighty miracles taking place. Yet, at the same time, the people continuing to live in the real world. And some are working out how to have this mighty presence of God in the midst of a fallen world in which they work and live and are part of families and neighborhoods with all their trials and tribulations. How beautiful is that? That revival, and that is what I mean with it going out here. It's like we can experience the mighty presence of God amongst us here. But there's something of a real revival when we can get it that we can go out this place and we go back to where we work. And somehow still experience the mighty work of the Lord amongst us. Then you know the Lord is busy. And we're coming to the end of ourselves. Let's see whether my boss is going to like me or not. It's a real birthing inside of me. I want that for us. So I'm going to look at a scripture called Romans 12. And it says, it is the marks of a true Christian. Now, what I desire for us here is, I wish, and I know there's a lot of visitors here this morning, and I hope you can see that I, man, this morning might not be all slick and smooth, but I have a real desire to find the Lord this morning, okay? And we're not putting on a show here and say, hey, look at us Christians and being all religious. We're really trying to be real and authentic with the Lord, okay? But for us here, who are part of this church, I want to say, as Christians, the last thing what I want to do is put something religious on you and just say, pray more. That is not it, okay? But there's something, and this heading of this chapter in the ESV is called the marks of a true Christian. Marks of a true Christian. And I pray that when people look at us, that these things will be said about us. That they weren't religious and doing the right stuff, but they were real. Okay, and this is what the Bible said about those guys. Okay, or what it should be. It says, let love be genuine. Now, have you considered what that looks like? Genuine love. I had to confess to Daryl a while ago. You guys know Daryl, and he's amazing. But I said to him, you know, often when you speak to me on a Sunday, it feels like I'm the only person in the room. Have you guys felt that with him? Okay? It's like he looks dead into your soul, and he's like, I know there's 150 other people here, but right now my attention is with you. And I said, bro, that's amazing. It feels like I'm always five people ahead. Okay, and I had to say sorry. I was like, bro, it's not right. I don't want to be like that. I want to learn that my love is genuine, that when I'm with you, that I'm with you. Okay, and I saw Jesus in the way that he works with me. Yeah? Please, Jesus, help me. Okay, it says, abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Have you considered that? What does that look like? To outdo one another in showing honor. Mike would say behind him, like, you know, I hope he says this. He says, you know, Hannes, he's really an incredible guy. Like, I don't know what he would say about me, whatever, ne? And when I hear about that, I want to go behind his back publicly and say, guys, I wish you can get to know Mike. He's incredible. The way that he follows God, and I call it out in him. Ne? You guys get the picture? Not really? Yo. Okay, I need to, okay. And but this outdoing and showing one another honor, and my wife and I are trying to do this thing where we found that scripture really for us as a congregation, say, man, we want to honor one another. And I said to you, once a day, at least, we're going to try and ask the Lord, who do you want to encourage and who can we honor today? And I make it a point. And I'm going to phone, call, message, whatever. I don't know. And just say, hey. And so often, you know what? It's not. It's the person who's often giving you the biggest headache as well. Okay. And just say, hey, man. I want to say, when you did that the other day, it really blessed me. And I want to say, I want to encourage you to do it more. There's something in you that is like, it just brings. You know what happens? Is they believe it. And we call it out in one another. I'm giving away my tricks here, okay? but I'm gonna stir you with us. Like, try and honor your dad, even if he was the worst guy ever. Say, man, find something. Dad, that time you took me fishing to that place, I remember it. It blessed me. And you call it out, okay? Or your mom, your brother, your sister, or friends and family here. I want to stir you. Let's outdo one another in showing honor. This one is my favorite. Do not be slothful in zeal. Anybody watch Ice Age before? A sloth, okay? Like, do not be a sloth in zeal, okay? But be fervent in spirit. I want to stir you guys, man. Sometimes I don't feel always like I look. Really. And what I mean with that, sometimes people think I just have too much coffee every morning and I'm just on a high. It is not the truth. Okay. Like, sometimes I need to stir myself. And that song we sang this morning, stir a passion in my soul, God. I want it to overflow, but right now I'm feeling a little bit slothful. It is not okay. Okay. There's something that we need to be fervent in spirit. Okay. Serve the Lord and rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. That's one we like to skip sometimes. And then this one, be constant in prayer. It's a mark of us. It is not just something we're trying to do. If we're true followers of the Lord, there's something of a constant in prayer together and individually. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. I want to stir you to the pantry. Man, that thing, I would love it when we get to a time where that box is just overflowing and we can't dish it out. But there's something of, there's people amongst us who have lack. And we're just trying it $100 a month. I mean, I can get away with $100 a month. Imagine if 150 of us give $100 a month or 50 rand a month. We can sustain people who really have nothing in our congregation. It's a mark of true believers to care for the ones amongst us. All right? Seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Sounds a lot cooler than what it practically is to do. No. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And this one is not easy. Never be wise in your own sight. Wow. Have you considered that? Oh, I can't say much about that. Repay no one with evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with one another. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And there's something of that, when we choose to live like that, that people look at us and say, what is different about you? It's what true Christianity looks like. No. So I want to stir this morning, just again in prayer, and speaking about the asking part, is I think there's a way that we can ask that still glorifies God. Not? Okay. No. I think with prayer, let me read this. It's something I wrote. You can quote me, okay? It says, I believe that one thing many people will regret when we get to heaven is that we didn't pray more. Because once we're there, it is too late to pray for God to use us or to pray for someone to get saved. We need to spend more time on our knees. And you're not going to get to heaven and say, oh man, I never even got to season 4 of that season on Netflix. It's like, would you believe it? Heaven doesn't have Netflix. What is this? Okay. No one's going to get there and say, oh, I wish I watched more TV. No one. Okay. I think we're going to get there and we're like, man, I should have prayed more. for that person. Because guess what? In heaven, no one is praying for someone to get saved. It's too late. The Bible speaks about it. I can't go into that now. But there's something that only here we can cry out to the Lord for one another. And the way we can ask for the Lord is often we're like, God, would you help me in this? Would you help me in this? And it's good. And God wants us to ask him. And Lord, would you help me to do that? But then sometimes I think the Lord is like waiting. And he's like, would you ask me about someone else? For someone else? Would you take some time and really forget about yourself? And not because you want them to get saved, because then they'll irritate you less. No. Okay? An honest desire to see them saved and not go to hell. All right? Praying for one another's salvation is always on the Lord's heart. 1 Timothy 2, you can put that on up, Josh. It says this, first of all then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. And listen to this part. And it is pleasing in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is pleasing to the Lord when we ask him for others. It blesses his heart. And I want to say that praying for one another is definitely not the only thing, okay? Yes, we have a pantry. I just spoke about that. When someone is hungry, we need to feed them. The Bible says when someone is naked, we need to clothe them. If someone is in captivity, we need to free them, okay? And it's praise not the only thing, but I think it's definitely one of the kindest things we can do for one another is to pray for salvation. Pray for, man, yeah, by all means, pray for their health, pray for finances or whatever. But above all that, cry out for their salvation. That they may meet the Lord. All right. And yes, this, what is probably one of the quickest prayers that the Lord always answers? Okay. How's this? Have you ever prayed this? God, would you please give me an opportunity to reach out to this guy? Man, I promise you, often less than 24 hours, boom. It's like, have you guys found that? Okay? And I think sometimes we miss it because either we really didn't mean it. No, I didn't mean me opportunity. Okay? Or we just didn't expect the Lord to listen to that one. But it is like God is attracted to it when we pray for one another. He's like, oh, really? I also want them to meet me. Yes, use this one. Okay? And sometimes we say, man, God doesn't answer my prayers, whatever. Man, that thing, if you want a prayer to be answered, just cry out for, Lord, would you give me opportunity to minister to this person? I'd give it a week, less than that. It's like you're going to have one. And I want to encourage you, catch it when the Lord does it. God is attracted to those prayers for other people. Are you guys with me? Cool. How are we doing here for time? Cool. And then the third thing is that when we pray, especially those prayers for other people, be expectant that the Lord is going to answer them. And then there's a call for us to shine. To shine. All right? To shine those characteristics, in a sense, that is really, it is not something we add to us, but it's who we are. Yeah? I want to say this. The most normal thing that you can do is to tell someone why you are different. The most normal thing you can do. All right, it's not to tell someone else why they need to be different. The church is great at that. Okay, not to tell someone else why they need to be different, but tell them why you are different. And for that to happen, they need to ask you, why are you like that? You need to live in a way that there is something different about you that they want to ask you. I just can't place it. But what is different about you? And then the most normal thing is to say, I haven't always been like this. Jesus changed me. It is not weird, guys. It is not weird to have that as a response. It is the most normal thing to say. I've never... You didn't want to know me when I was... Okay? Okay? I wasn't like this, but Jesus came and did something. Okay, my parents will tell you I haven't always been like this. All right, and it's quite normal to be ready to say to people, man, Jesus did this. Ours is 1 Peter 3, and I want to liberate you with this morning. It says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared. How's that? That can sound like a heavy, but it says, always be prepared not to answer all the questions about evolution and why God exists and why this and this and this. No. Not with those questions. It says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you, they need to ask you, for a reason for the hope that is in you. Just be ready with that. When someone asks you, why even if you have no money, or your mom just passed away, or this thing happened, or you just lost your job, but you still look full of faith and different. Why is that? That is it. That is the opportunity we pray for. Well, can I tell you? All right? That is it. People are more attracted to transformation, not information. All right? I want to explain this to you. Almost finished. I'm landing with this, okay? How many of you have listened to TV ads, and there comes an ad, I stole this from someone, by the way, it's not my own joke, but it's pretty funny, okay? Own joke, or TV ad that says, man, there's this pill, if you take it, you're guaranteed to lose 50 kilograms a week, okay? Take it, and then T's and C's apply, no risk apply, blah, 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 blah. Speak to your doctor, you might die, whatever, da, 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 da. And we listen to those things, and sometimes even if we desire to lose weight, information really does very little to us. Are you okay? You agree with me on that one? Then the next ad, man, this gym, if you go here 4 times a week, you're guaranteed to look like this. Okay? And you're like, we just scan through it. It's like really doesn't do something to us. But then someone who you know that has looked like this, okay, walks in sometime like 6 months after you've seen them for the last time, and they're fit and healthy, and they look like Ivan at 50 years old, okay? And you're like, what happened to you? How did you do that? Okay? Anybody? Okay? No? Okay? And it's like, tell me, what is your secret? All right? And those persons never go like, oh, yes. Sorry, I actually didn't expect you to ask me that question today. Can I go think about it, and I'll go do some research, and I'll come back to you next week with that? No, man. They're like so ready. Well, let me tell you, I've been on this diet, and this and this and this. It works for me. Okay? Now, sometimes you'll get someone who go like, I hate the diet. I do that, okay? And now, by then, it is not your choice. Oh, my soul, they hate the diet. It's like my whole world just collapsed. Like, it worked for me, but they hate the diet. No, man. Often the person is just like, well, it worked for me. All right? And usually that's when I hate it, when they say that. All right? But I can see there's a change. Right? And sometimes when someone asks you, what happened to you? What is different about you? And we tell them about Jesus, that is the hope in us. Sometimes they might go, well, I don't know about that Jesus thing. It's okay. Your world doesn't have to collapse right there. All right? It is really okay. And you could just say, well, it works for me. I know that he's alive. Okay? And they can maybe deny the whole Jesus part, but they cannot deny that there's something different about you. There's something, and guys, that thing, transformation, more than the info of trying to explain it to people, why this and why this, there's something about transformation that sticks. It's like, but I can't deny it. We need to shine. We need to be different. And then in Exodus 33, it says this, I didn't give it to you, Josh, but it says, with what Moses said to God, it's like, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us out from here, because what will make us different from every other person on the face of the planet if your presence doesn't go with us? And guys, the reason why we pray and the reason why we're trying to discover what is on the Lord's heart to pray is because we are hungry for his presence. Hungry. God, even above those characteristics, if your presence doesn't go with us, what makes us different? What makes us different? What will separate me? But when I walk into a place again in Melkbos and I come in there and someone would say, yes, this guy again. I don't know. Just every time he gets here, there's something different about the way he reacts. I want people to say that about me. Not because I'm weird. But there's something different about the presence of God that I want to separate me from every other person. And I want it for us together. It's the presence of God. And when we cry out for other people's salvations, it's like it attracts the presence of God even for us. and we get to know the Lord's heart more. Is that cool? All right. So, man, this morning for me, it's really interesting. It does feel like Wednesday evening where it's like out of my control. But I believe there's something the Lord wants to produce in us this morning. And then we can, this thing, you know, with revival, I'm going to finish with this. I'm basically done. But revival didn't happen within a week. And it's funny, the first week when we spoke after prayer, we had like a 400% increase in our numbers in prayer. And last week we still spoke about prayer, but the numbers already started doing this. And not that it's about the numbers, but there's something in us that we instant food people. I get upset if McDonald's makes me wait for 2 minutes. Okay? It's supposed to be fast. All right? And there's something like, even with God, like, no, but I prayed it. It needs to happen now. But sometimes there's a hunger and a constant in prayer and a crying out. And the Lord is, I think sometimes he's like, I want to see if you really want it. I want to see it. And I want to stir you guys. As we cry out for revival, the Lord can do it. Really, I have faith that it can happen this morning. He can do it instantly. But sometimes it is like we desire it for years. And there's layers. And please, Jesus, not too long. But like that we just constant in prayer, faithful in prayer, seeking the Lord, desire it. Man, these things, guys, I had to confess last night. I was trying to work out like, okay. I remember I prayed for J.E. and he's here and he's answered prayer, which is amazing, man. And he's on that side. But I was like, who else did I put in here? And I forgot. Who are the people that I'm crying out to for the Lord? And I felt the Lord rebuke me. Okay, it's like, I need to be constant in praying for them. Even more. It's like, I prayed for a couple of weeks. It didn't happen. Okay, well, whatever. No, man. There's something of walking it. And I want to stir you guys. Please hear me. It is not about the numbers. Okay, really, it's not about that. I would rather have 4 effective prayers and we touch the Lord's heart than 100. Okay, you hear me on that. But there's something that we need to train ourselves to be faithful here and get out of the instant food zone and revival. You know, you remember Wesley who had the grooves at his knees. That was years crying out to the Lord, faithful. And can I stir you today to really say, God, I know it's so hard, but I want to. That the desire for revival is bigger than the sacrifice. Even on mornings like this, who if you feel weird this morning? Like, we're not quite eating it. Anyway, okay, cool. There's a couple of us. Eh? Thanks, Dylan. Okay, I do. Even as I'm speaking, I'm like, I'm trying to search. Where's the Lord? But there's a desire in me this morning. It's like, Lord, I'm hungry for it. And I'm not going to fake it till we make it. I want the real deal. I want it. Really? Okay? And I think we need to train ourselves. For those of you who don't know, on this side, we have ping pong balls and we wrote people's names on it that we're crying out to for the Lord, or should cry out to the Lord for, that they can get to know him. And on this side, we celebrate it when they get saved and we say, look at what the Lord has done. But I think we need to reconsider, come back to this, and really start to cry out for people again to come to the Lord. Revival is that's that quote that I read in the beginning. It says, evangelism, in terms of evangelism, the saints go to seek the lost. In times of revival, the lost come running to the Lord. And I'm crying out to that. Yes, at the moment we might be seeking the lost, but I'm praying for revival where people just come running to whatever the Lord is doing here. And it's going to start. Do it in us. Do it in us. Do it in us. All right? So what I want us to do, Daryl, you guys must help me here now. We're going to respond to the Lord this morning, but I think we need to revisit the people we're crying out here for. Okay, and if you have a name in here, I want to stir you. We're going to get together and we're going to pray for this by name. Okay, then if you don't have a name in here, I want to challenge you. There's some clean ones here. Get a pen and you write the name on. Someone who you can trust the Lord for. Lord, would you give me an opportunity to minister to? And we're going to cry out together for names, for people to get saved. All right? And then I think we need to pray for one another. The Lord would start it in us again. Do it in, and there's something, I think we can break through this morning, okay? Breakthrough, and I want to challenge you, this is for me as well. Breakthrough isn't always just when the hype is there and we feel, oh, it can happen this morning. Often breakthrough happens when it feels like, yes, we're hitting a wall here this morning, okay? But if we're hungry for it, we can get through this morning. And I want you guys to push with me here. Can we do that? All right? So we're going to respond to that soon. And then, but man, I want to ask this morning. We're speaking about marks of a true Christian here. And I want to tell you, for those of you who don't know me, I met many of you for the first time this morning. I wasn't always this guy leading the church. Okay, I wasn't always the one passionate about the Lord. I want to say, I hated church. I'm going to tell you a funny joke. I used to sit in church, and don't ever do this. There's no youth here, okay? Don't listen, okay? But I remember one Sunday, I hit myself on the nose, wham, that my nose can bleed, that I can walk out and go sit in the bathroom, all right? That's how desperate I was to get out of church, all right? So please hear me. Yo, don't ever do that to yourself, okay? But that is how desperate I was to not be part of church, all right? I wasn't like this. Okay, yes, everybody's singing. What the heck? You probably hit the brain cell or something loose as well. Okay? And Mike is like, that's what went wrong. Anyway, but I wasn't like this. But something that there was a day when I was grade 9, 15 years old, the 2nd of May, 2009, I think so, okay, that I met Jesus. And everything that I've heard about him before, it's like, I grew up in a Christian house. My parents read the Bible to me. I knew all the Bible stories. I knew everything. But there was a night where I met God. And everything that I've heard, information for years, became transformation. And I said to the Lord, I want in on that. It's like, I knew Jesus died. I didn't know it was for me. And I didn't know I needed it. And that night I stood there, and as I saw my sin, really, okay, I just remember I stood there weeping as I saw I was addicted to pornography. I was a disobedient child to my parents. And there were these flashes of stuff. I saw like a sailor, okay? And I saw these things. It's like, and I just saw how it grieves the Lord, my sin. And I said to God, I can't fix it. And Jesus said, I can. I can make you new. And that night I stood there and someone led me in a prayer and I said, God, I want to give you my life. And what you did on the cross, I want part of that. I want in. And that night, just as I stood there weeping for, I don't know, it felt like for hours, God made me new. And the Bible says it is called being born again. And it felt like that. It really did. It felt like I started afresh. Yeah. And it's 10 years now. It's not even that long. There's some people you're saved for longer than I'm alive, okay? But I was born again that night. And my journey with the Lord started. And I started following God. And all of us have to come to that place to not only just have marks of a true Christian, but we actually don't know Jesus. It's like we need to change. That night, I was made new. And I started walking this journey with God. And He's producing in me stuff till the day that I die. But all of us have to come to that point where we say, God, I need to be born again. I want in. I want to be new. And it's only because of Jesus that it can happen. And I want to invite you. I do feel, and there's an opportunity for us. Man, just as I remember that, it's like, Lord, I just want to thank you for that, that you saved me, God. But I believe there's more people that can be saved this morning, saved from ourselves, saved from hell, saved from sin. And can I ask that we close our eyes? And I want to ask, man, like that night when I was grade 9 and I stood in that hall with everybody, it felt like everyone looking at me. And they ask, who of you wants to know Jesus? And I raised my hand. I ran to the front and I said, I want to know him. Okay, I feel this opportunity for some of us here today to get to know Jesus. And really, for that marks of a true Christian to be produced in us. But first, we need to be made new. And I want to invite you, if you want to know Jesus today, say, God, I always had information. I thought I knew about this. I actually hate the church, if I'm honest. Like, but today, there's something, a desire in me that I actually want to know Jesus. I'm going to count to three. And on the count to three, I want you to be brave. If that is you, to just pop your hand in the air and just say, I want in. I want to know Jesus. I'm going to count to three. If that is you, I want you to be brave this morning. So 1, 2, 3. If you want to know Jesus, don't you just want to raise your hand quickly? It's an opportunity for us to be born again this morning. Be made new. All right. Cool. Lord, I just want to pray right now that your presence would just come and fill this room, Lord. No, Lord. I pray the desire, God, to know you will be bigger than our own pride, our own desires. Lord, we just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come and do it, Lord. Like you did with me, and I was made new, saved by your mercy, Lord. Pray for it this morning. Pray for it, God. Pray that we will not miss what you want to do now, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm going to give one more chance. If that is you and you want to respond to the Lord this morning, or even say, hey, I think I wondered, but I really desire to know Jesus personally. Then you just want to raise your hand quickly, and I would love to pray with you for that. Anyone here? Okay. Cool. Thank you, Lord. Cool. Daryl, don't you guys want to come to the front? Yeah, man. Lord, we just pray. I pray that we'll break through this morning. Lord, I pray that we will not just, what's the word? But like, be okay with just a meeting this morning. But I desire that we can break through. I'm hungry for revival this morning. I'm hungry for people to get saved, Lord. I'm hungry for our town to be influenced, Lord. And that people can ask us, what is different about you? I want that, Lord. I want there to be a fire at this church, God, that people will come running to it, Lord. Would you birth it in us this morning, Lord? We want it, God. We want it, Lord. Yeah, so I think what are we going to do? I want to stir us. I'm going to hand over to Daryl now. But this, I want us to remember who we're praying for here this morning. And then we're going to kind of turn to one another, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4 in little groups or whatever. And we're just going to pray by names for these people. All right. If you don't have names in here, but you really desire someone to get saved, there's clean ones here. Come grab one, just write the name and pop it in here. And it says souls that we're trusting for to get saved. We're going to cry out together for our town this morning. And can I ask you to make it close? Don't pray for, you can pray for your uncle in New Zealand, but like do something that is here that we can see together and celebrate. Can we do that? Someone that is close that you can actually see in the week. Like don't pray, God, give me opportunity, but you know you're never going to see that guy again. Like close. And then we're going to pray together and cry out to the Lord. All right.
On the saved side is a little ball there with Levi on it. And when we first started this exercise, I had friends that I wrote their names on. But I didn't write my children's name on the balls. And when Rudy and Rissy came and said, hey, has Levi ever given his life to the Lord? And I said, no. It struck me that I hadn't even thought of putting my own children's names here, that they would encounter God. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as Hannes is speaking, that those that are in our families, that are close to us, let's stand in faith and break into groups and pray. Because, you know, God's hand is not too short to save anybody. And I just, a little testimony quickly, just with Levi. We went through a very challenging time with him earlier this year where we really just didn't know where it came from. The little guy's wheels completely fell off in school, in grade one. And he's 7 years old. And what started coming out of him was things like, I hate myself, I want to die, I want to kill myself. Like really hectic stuff coming out of my 7-year-old boy. And we stood and started to contend and pray and trust God that he would help us with this. And it's a very scary thing as a parent, hearing your little 7-year-old child coming up with. So it was straight off to the educational psychologists and the pediatricians and trying and also in prayer, God, please guide me. And you know, he's met the Lord. And he is asking questions about, how do I can't see him, but how do I know him? And yeah, I really want to encourage us today. I hope that story shares hope for you, that that God can save a little child. He can save anybody in your family. Don't in your own heart write people off and think those guys will never come to God. Because it just takes a moment and their lives can be changed forever. Amen. So, yeah, just as Hannes has encouraged us, I think what we're going to do, you want to break into groups of 3 or 4? Let's do that. And can we do that for 10 minutes? Yeah, and then call it together and wrap, or just let them go? Okay, so 10 minutes. Can you break into little groups, and let's stand and pray for those that we want to trust God for.